Today we're reading John 9, verses 8 to 34. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is he." Others said, "No, but he is like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." So they said to him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and I washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been formerly blind. Now it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him, since he has opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But how he now sees, we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he say to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" And they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born in utter sin, and would you teach us?" And they cast him out. In the first part of John chapter 9, Jesus just healed this man who was born blind. How did Jesus do it? By anointing the man's eyes with mud and having him wash in the pool of Siloam. Right before that, Jesus proclaimed once again, "I am the light of the world." That was the miraculous healing, and in this passage, we see the follow-up, the responses from everybody. Because this is a longer passage, we won't go through all the details, but I think it's helpful to see how all these different groups of people respond to the healing. The first group of people we see are the neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar, who noticed something very different about him. While some knew right away, others said, "No, this is just somebody who looks like the blind man." Now, maybe they are like me, maybe they have terrible memory and can't recognize faces well sometimes, but probably instead their logic is controlling their minds, saying, "Blind men don't recover their sight." The healed man has to keep saying, "I am the man." It's kind of funny imagining the scene, right? To picture this man trying to convince them, "Yes, I know it's unbelievable, but I'm really that guy. I used to be that blind guy sitting right there. That was my spot. Let me interject a quick devotional thought here. When somebody is really changed by Jesus, people notice. They may have to do a double take, and some might not really believe it, but in general, people notice the difference when Jesus touches somebody. Back to the scene, the man simply answers, as he does many times in this passage, recalling what happened. He says, "The man named Jesus made mud, anointed my eyes, sent me to the pool, which is called Scent. So I went and I washed and recovered my sight." That's his testimony, exactly as it happened. So the people bring the man to some of the Jewish leaders at the time, the Pharisees. And they're divided about if the healing actually happened. As verse 16 says, while some are upset that this healing took place on the Sabbath, others argue, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" This is not a new theme. Where Jesus goes, sooner or later, people are divided about him. Because each person has to eventually choose that, yes, he is the Son of God, or no, this Jesus person is a fake, he's lying. And the last characters we see here are the man's parents. From verse 18, the Jews did not believe that he had been born blind and had received his sight, until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight. The Jewish leaders are so against Jesus that they cannot believe the man or anybody else vouching for the man. They have to keep checking, keep asking the man several times. They have to fact check things with the man's parents. The parents respond to their first question, "Yes, our son was really born blind," but they deflect the second question, "How then does he now see?" by saying, "Ask him yourself, he is old enough." John notes, his parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be the Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. From what John writes, we get the sense that the parents wanted to say something more. They wanted to say something like, "Our son is healed because Jesus is from God. How else could it happen?" Yet, for fear of the Jews, who had the power to kick them out of the synagogue, they deflect. They do not confess Jesus to be the Christ. And this is a really important point to meditate on. Often, confessing Jesus to be the Christ comes with a cost. The cost here is being kicked out of the synagogue, which is where the Jews went for their teaching. Later on, the man who was healed gets kicked out himself for proclaiming the truth. Later on, the man who was healed said, "Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." Once again, we see here that confessing Jesus as the Christ leads to persecution. Let's reflect today on our readiness to confess that Jesus is the Christ. While we do not have Pharisees who will kick us out of our circles, I'm sure we have different hesitations when it comes to sharing our belief about Jesus to those who don't have a relationship with him. What if people think I'm weird? What if they are offended and are mad at me for sharing? If you think of moments that you recently had where you could have shared your faith to others, who do you connect with more? The parents who shied away and deflected, or the man who simply spoke the truth about Jesus healing him and what he did for him? Let's pray for that resolve and wisdom and love, of course, when God gives us opportunities to proclaim who we believe Jesus to be. We will come across moments that are divisive for others, and when we feel that division or tension in ourselves. But let's be so rooted and sure of what God has done for us that we will simply speak the truth of Jesus when given the chance. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this passage, and God, we pray that we would be like the man who was born blind, who simply shared what you did for him, how he was blind, but now he sees, and that's all he knows. And Jesus, we pray that in our lives that we would be a living testimony of what you did for us, that you came and you saved us from death, and now you've given us life, that you've given us sight to see what truly matters and who we really are in you. God, I pray that you would just root us in this, and that, God, that we would be attentive to the opportunities you give for us to share, and that we would, in those moments, just naturally be able to share what you did, and that many others would come to believe in you as well. We pray for your power in this. We pray for your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray.